From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. I am with you alway. It is well there is one who is ever the same, and who is ever with us. It is well there is one stable rock amidst the billows of the sea of life. O my soul, set not thine affections upon rusting, moth-eaten, decaying treasures, but set thine heart upon him who abides forever faithful to thee. Build not thine house upon the moving quicksands of a deceitful world, but found thy hopes upon this rock, which amid descending rain and roaring floods shall stand immovably secure. My soul, I charge thee, lay up thy treasure in the only secure cabinet. Store thy jewels where thou canst never lose them. Put thine all in Christ. Set all thine affections on his person, all thy hope in his merit, all thy trust in his efficacious blood, all thy joy in his presence, and so thou mayest laugh at loss and defy destruction. Remember that all the flowers in the world's garden fade by turns, and that the day cometh when nothing will be left but the black, cold earth. Death's black extinguisher must soon put out thy candle. Oh, how sweet to have sunlight when the candle is gone! The dark flood must soon roll between thee and all thou hast. Then wed thine heart to him who will never leave thee. Trust thyself with him who will go with thee through the black and surging current of death's stream, and who will land thee safely on the celestial shore, and make thee sit with him in heavenly places forever. Go, sorrowing son of affliction, tell thy secrets to the friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Trust all thy concerns with him who never can be taken from thee, who will never leave thee, and who will never let thee leave him. Even Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lo, I am with you alway, is enough for my soul to live upon. Let who will forsake me.
Love, where is home if not for heaven? too many, and the joys are far too few. Who will comfort and defend me? Only you, Lord, only you. Jesus, Savior, dearest friend, I will trust you.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he's dealing with verses 5 through 10 of chapter 3. In the opening verses of the chapter, we've seen Paul's concern that the new believers in Thessalonica may have experienced a weakening in their faith because of the persecution by the Judaizers. He knew that Satan was angry at the advance of the gospel in that city. But Paul receives word from Timothy that the church is standing fast in the Lord, and his heart rejoices. As the message proceeds, we'll see the connection between the sufferings of Christ and those of his people. Now to continue this message, Pastoral Joy for a Faithful Church, here is the Reverend Armin Tamassian.
When we looked at chapter 2, verse 18, Satan hindering Paul, his hindering efforts against Paul, they weren't just focused upon Paul, but against the church as well, and the tempter seeking to tempt them, and Paul's labor then to be in vain. He is so consumed with concern about this matter. So there's not only then the enemy, there's also the evidence of faithfulness, because when we come to verse 6, here's the happy news. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, and so on. Timothy had to take a trip of hundreds of miles. If he stayed in Thessalonica for a week, possibly about a month, he's away from the Apostle Paul, maybe even more. It's a long, hundreds and hundreds of miles. And so he makes this journey to figure out, to determine, to evaluate the church and how they're getting on. And he comes with good tidings. Wonderful term he uses there in verse 6. Most often used of the word, the gospel itself. But in this context, it's used like Gabriel used it in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, where he came and bring good tidings to Zacharias. And Timothy's report has two parts. First, he speaks of their faith and love. And then he speaks of the positive thoughts that they have generally toward the apostle and their desire to see him. So let's look primarily upon the first point of this, where he brings good tidings of, look at it, middle of verse 6, your faith and charity. Your faith and charity. This is a summation of what he observed, their faith and charity. When he saw a church that was going on with God, he could summarize it in these terms, your faith and charity. Now, why does he summarize it in that way? Well, faith is the inward working of the gospel. If you were here for adult Sunday school, this would tie into some of the things that were discussed. Faith is the inward working of the gospel in their lives, and love is the outward working of the gospel in their lives. Paul puts these together in other places. For example, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints." Faith is an inward working of the gospel. Love is the outward working of the gospel. It summarizes the experience of the church when it is what it ought to be. So when he went there, he could see it, and he could summarize it in this way. Good tidings of your faith and charity. In other words, what they've been taught about the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't just disappeared into the ether. The things that had been instructed toward them and they had been grounded in had still relevance within their hearts. They were seeking to develop it and work it out and understand it. And so then their lives were transforming more and more in charity, that is, in love toward the people of God and toward the neighbor and so on. And so a church is functioning the way that it ought. The inward working of the gospel, the outward working of the gospel in their lives. And that's good news. That is good news. If you can summarize a church in that way, they understand the gospel, it's working into their very souls, it's filling their hearts, it's filling their praises. You can hear it in the way they pray, they're understanding the gospel's taking root. And then to see it work out in their lives in love, these two aspects are utterly essential. Both of these graces grow together. It may be said that you are not growing in your commitment to the gospel if you're not also growing in your love for the saints, and vice versa. Some of us find one aspect of this easier than the other. Some may love the gospel, love the faith. They want to understand the faith and be bedded into the faith and grasp the faith and understand it to the fullest degree. Others are more toward the working out of it and seeking to live charitably toward others and all of that. But it has to be both. See, the problem is, if you put emphasis upon, let's say, the latter, charity, and you want to manifest love and show love, but it's not with the grounding of the gospel, you may show love where you ought not, in the wrong way. That's possible. You could show love to an apostate. You could show love to a false teacher. You could give time and place to those that you ought not to give time and place to. So it needs to be that the gospel is well understood within the heart, within the soul. But you can't just know it all. You can't just have it worked out within your soul and you understand the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and not have it worked out. As it is developed there in Ephesians 1 where we said, love unto all the saints. That's the focus. The love has to be manifest to the people of God. There should not be infighting. There should not be bickering. There should not be a lack of grace toward the people of God. There should be care, concern, and love, and a pouring out of adoration toward one another, in that sense of, you belong to the Lord. I must treasure you the way the Lord treasures you. I mean, none of us are more valued than the other. We're all members of the same body. The idea that we can elevate ourselves in such a way that we minimize the appreciation that we should have toward the people of God. Christ died for all of his people. They matter to him. And so they must matter to us. So we can't just fill our hearts and minds with theology and understanding what the Lord has done for us without an evidence of love toward that for whom he did it for. We must love the body. And so Timothy's summary is, this church is showing this. Good tidings, gospel news, glad news of your faith and charity. All the persecution that was going on in that city had not caused their faith to waver and hadn't stopped them from showing love. That's a good thing, isn't it? I think it's hard for us to understand what this kind of persecution would be like to be in the midst of it, where it's threatening your job and threatening your very life, because you're not making ends meet the way you were, and your family have rejected you, but they hadn't faltered. They hadn't stopped doubting the love of God, the work of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and so on. And they continued to spread the gospel far and wide and to serve their brothers in the Lord. Again, just for a moment, turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. There was persecution in this city also, not to the same degree. It was mostly focused upon the apostle, but we don't know what happened or to what extent persecution spread after the apostle left Philippi. It may have come to the church in a very real way, and certainly there's indications of that in the letter. But Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul writes, only let your conversation or your behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your behavior be controlled by the gospel. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast. You see that? Same as what we have in verse 8. This idea of standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's not you in your small corner and I in mine. Right? We're standing together. We're in this together, standing fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Just stop for a moment. You see what Paul says here? When you're attacked, when you come under persecution and you stand fast, you hold the line, you continue on to do what God has called you to do, it is evidence to your own soul of a genuine work of grace that you are truly the Lord's. Their persecution in the face of your love is an evident token of perdition. But their persecution to you and to your heart is an evident token of salvation that's been truly worked in you by God. For unto you, verse 29, let's not leave this out, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. There we are. You see the emphasis again? suffering as a Christian, having the same conflict which he saw in me. What did they see in him? They saw him imprisoned. And they saw many stripes laid upon his back. And they saw him there in the midst of that prison. And if Paul didn't tell the story, certainly the Philippian jailer would have told the story when he came and joined himself to the church with Lydia and the rest of them. And he would have told the story. There was a man in the middle, along with Silas, and he was in the middle of prison, blood pouring from his wounds, and at midnight he's singing praise to God. That would be the testimony. They saw it. They understood the spirit in which he took persecution, and they were to follow in the same path. But it gives confirmation that that's one of the encouraging things about persecution, that when I respond the biblical way, the right way, the Christ-like way, to persecution, it actually comes back on me with the encouragement that I belong to the Lord. And so I read Matthew chapter 5, I go through the Beatitudes, and I say, blessed are ye when they persecute you, and they revile you, and they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Don't be worried or concerned about it. It actually girds your faith. So there was evidence of their faithfulness. They were going on with God. Timotheus came from you onto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. And the second aspect of the report is, and that you have good remembrance of us always, designed greatly to see us as we also to see you. I'll not elaborate much on that, just to show that while there was word of some that were trying to misrepresent the apostle, by and large, the main thrust of the church, the main core of the congregation, just wanted to see him again. They longed to see him again, and he longed to see them in return. That brings us into the third point, the effect of faithfulness. What is the effect of it? Well, there's a couple of things we see here. First, it relieves. It relieves. It brings relief. Verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Comforted. Remember what we said last week? This word's already come up. Verse 2, the end of verse 2, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. The noun form of this word is applied to the Holy Spirit himself, called the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside. And as we said last week, Timothy was sent to be a conduit of the activity and work of the Spirit of God, to be a ministry to the hearts of those in this church. That Timothy was going there to be a comfort to them concerning their faith. The Holy Spirit working through Timothy would help them as they go on with God, as they would stand in the midst of the afflictions. But now you see, when he comes back, this is wonderful, he comes back with good news. He says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you. I sent Timothy to comfort you, to come alongside you, to comfort your soul, that he would be a ministry to you through the Spirit of God. Now you are ministering to us. The Spirit, through Timothy, he is again being a conduit of encouragement and comfort, this time to me, because of the news of how you're going on. We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. What comfort? Just to hear good news. Good news from a far land is as water to the thirsty soul. That is if you care. If you care. You have to care. Sometimes we give reports of our missionaries. Report comes out and we read it, and when it has good news, I feel my heart leap for joy. I hear of how the work is progressing and how God is using the work, hearing of souls being saved of late in Liberia because of the radio ministry, hearing of the advancement of the work in Spain, seeing the advancement of the work in Nepal. We may not see all that we're wanting to see at the exact present time, but my heart leaps for joy when I read those reports. I thank the Lord. It gives strength to my very bones when I hear good news from other works. We are not to be jealous. We're not to be the kind of people that it only matters, or I only will be joyful if it applies to me. If things are going well for me, no, that's not the way it's meant to be. I think some people, they They weep when others rejoice, and they rejoice when others weep. And it's the wrong way around, beloved. It's not meant to be like that. When they're rejoicing, let's rejoice with them. When they're weeping, let's weep with them. But you can only do that if you care, if you actually care. And Paul cared. That's why he's so concerned. He is the life, the very life is being drawn from him. And so when he gets this news, it brings relief. We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, hearing that your faith continues on. You're standing steadfast. You're being faithful. It actually brings comfort to my soul.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.